I want to start with an all-important pronunciation question.
Okay.
All right. Shimabukuro, shimabukuro.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess the traditional if you say it in Japanese, I've heard people pronounce it shimabukuro. Shimabukuro. There's really no accent on the syllables, but
what do you do?
I like to put an accent on the ku, you know, like shimabukuro.
Okay.
I like to say shimabukuro, but you know, that's probably wrong. So yeah, my whole life I've probably been saying my name wrong, you know.
It's your name, it's not wrong.
Yeah, right? I guess so.
Born and raised in Hawaii?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Honolulu. Yeah, I was I grew up in Honolulu, Hawaii. I mean, just loved it. I loved the beach, loved the oceans. I never really traveled, you know, when I was a kid. I mean, I didn't really start traveling until about, you know, maybe 6-7 years ago. Yeah, it's been great.
You're traveling a bit now, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been traveling a lot. So I love it, though. For me, it's just a great education. It's a great way to see the world. And I mean, I just feel so lucky, so blessed, you know, because I had no idea that I would be doing this. You know what I mean? You know, when I was a kid, there was no such thing as a touring solo ukulele player.
Right.
So I had no idea that I would be doing all of this, yeah. You know?
Well, we're glad to have you here. Let's talk a little bit about the instrument that you brought in.
Okay.
A lot of folks are aware of the instrument, mm-hmm. which many of us refer to as the ukulele.
The ukulele,
It is not. It is the ukulele.
Yeah.
Right?
In Hawaii, we say ukulele, yes.
And there are different instruments, right? There's a whole family of these.
Well, there are four different sizes, and the one that I play is the third largest of the four. But there's the smallest, from smallest to largest, you have the soprano, or sometimes referred to as the standard. Then you have the concert, or sometimes referred to as the alto. And then you have the tenor, which is what I play. And then there's the baritone. But the baritone is the only one out of the four that's tuned different. It's tuned differently. It's tuned like the first four strings of a guitar.
Gotcha. Now, objectively speaking, at least from most of the awareness of people with ukulele music, it doesn't come across as a particularly flexible instrument
mm-hmm.
in terms yep. of what you can do with it. Prior to, let's say, you. It doesn't come across as a particularly flexible instrument. It's only four strings.
Yeah.
It's only a couple of octaves.
Two octaves.
It's not particularly loud. Mm-hmm. What drew you to it?
I guess, growing up in Hawaii, you know, it's very common for kids to play the ukulele. In fact, I think it's in the fourth or fifth grade, everyone that attends public school has, you know, learns how to play the ukulele. It's kind of like our recorder or clarinet, you know, the flutophone. Yeah. So we all played it, and my mom played, you know, when she was a kid. So actually, she was my first teacher. When I was about 4 years old, she sat me down and, you know, taught me my basic chords, and I just fell in love with it. I mean, I thought it was the coolest thing, you know, but it wasn't until like, you know, when I was in middle school or something that I discovered that, you know, you can do other things. Because I played a lot of traditional Hawaiian music when I was a kid. And once I realized that, you know, I played, you know, the kind of... that's all I played. But I remember the first time, once I discovered that I could listen to, you know, to like a guitar riff, like something like... I mean, it completely changed my world, because then I realized I don't have to just listen to ukulele music. You know, I could listen to guitar players, pianists, I could listen to harpists, I could listen to singers. I mean, just anything. You know, I realized that, you know, there was so much that you could do with this instrument.
Jake Shimabukuro, right, is my guest,
yes.
Live on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio. His newest album is called Peace, Love, Ukulele. Let's hear what you can do.
All right, cool. Well, here's a... Here's the song that started it all for me, and it's one by the great George Harrison. A song called While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Thank you.
That is Jake Shimabukuro live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Gently Weeps, the album that has that tune on it, correct? Yes. And that goes back a couple of years. You know, you talked about everyone as kids playing the ukulele in Hawaii. And having just been there for a brief trip, you know, pretty much every store is selling these things.
Oh, yeah.
Right? What would you say to the layperson in terms of what to look for? You know, if they're there and they're thinking, oh, you know, maybe this is an approachable instrument for me. I kind of like the way it sounds. What do you look for? There are so many of them kind of thrust out in front of you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, instruments are so, it's such a personal thing and you really want to bond with it. I mean, I've been playing kamaka ukuleles my whole life. I mean, they're all handmade in Hawaii and I just think they're amazing instruments, you know, but they are very, you know, on the pricier side, of course, you know. So if you want to spend a little more money, you know, if you're serious about it and you want a good instrument, you know, something that'll last you your entire life and you can pass down to your kids and grandkids, you know, you can invest in a kamaka. But, you know, but really there are so many great options out there that are very affordable. And the most important thing is, you know, you try it, you play it, and if it feels good to you, I mean, that's the main thing. You got to be happy. It's got to be an instrument that you're inspired to pick up. Mm-hmm. You know, something that you can't wait to get home and you're like, yeah, I want to take out my ukulele. You want to take it to the beach with you, you know, take it to a party. I mean, you just want to take it everywhere with you. So you want something that's going to inspire you to practice and to play. But other than that, I mean, it's just, you know, just have fun with it, you know, something that speaks to you, something that feels good, as long as it you can tune it, you know, mm-hmm. that's all that matters.
Before we move on, tell me a little bit specifically about your instrument, because we're going to have pictures of it on our Facebook page after the session. So tell me what we're looking at.
Okay, well, this is a kamaka tenor ukulele, and it's made out of koa wood.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's you know, I feel very fortunate to play this instrument. I mean, it's just, it's gorgeous. It's the wood, the grain of the wood is amazing. They look like tiger, you know, tiger stripes, and got an ebony bridge and ebony fretboard.
And is that like a signature model for you, or just one?
Yeah,
that you picked?
It's a signature model.
That's
got to
feel pretty
making
pretty
yeah,
darn cool,
I mean,
right?
I was very honored, you know, when they said that they wanted to do that, because you know, they were the first. I mean, in Hawaii, they're regarded as, you know, the ukulele makers. I mean, they were the first family to start manufacturing ukuleles almost 100 years ago.
Oh,
they're
cool.
Going on four generations of ukulele makers. It's amazing. They're the ones that learned from the Portuguese immigrants how to make this you know, these instruments.
That's
so
cool.
You know, so having that relationship with them for me is very special, and yeah, and you know, I love it, you know.
Yeah.
I love playing.
5 or 6 years ago, there's this
yep.
little 4-minute clip
was,
of you playing in where, Central Park?
In Central Park. It was that YouTube video.
Of the song you just played for,
yeah,
us, right?
Yeah, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. That's the song that started it all for me. I mean, I wouldn't be here today if it weren't
right.
for that video. So,
how's that video doing now on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's
still growing.
What is it, 7 or 8 million
hits?
No,
it's over 10 million.
Is it over 10
already?
Now?
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe it.
10 million
It just
people.
Keeps growing. And, I you know, and lucky for, you know, luckily for me, it was passed around in the music industry a lot. So a lot of music producers, you know, artists and managers, you know, saw this video. And so that's what really helped. I mean, in the last few years, I mean, I've been able to play with some of my heroes, you know, guys like Bela Fleck and
yeah.
the Flecktones, Yo-Yo Ma, you know, Jimmy Buffett. I mean, it's been amazing.
Can we hear another tune?
Sure. Well, I'll play a song from the latest release, and this is a song called 143, and it's a bit of a love song because before everyone walked around with cell phones, we all carried pagers, and 143 was a numeric pager code for I love you. So if you were dating someone, you'd put your number and then put a little dash and put the numbers 143, and that was kind of the romantic thing to do. So here's a little ukulele love tune.
It's Jake Shimabukuro live on open air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio and streaming online at ijpr.org. It's just amazing to watch you play. And in fact, I remember the first time, Jake, I ever saw you perform live. I think it was actually down at our theater down in Redding, California, the Cascade. And
okay, yeah.
I want to say maybe it was Bobby McFerrin.
Okay,
and
yeah.
What I was struck by was obviously your proficiency at ukulele, but I was struck by the sheer joy that you express when you're performing on stage.
Oh, yeah.
It's this infectious energy.
Thank you.
And I think as much as your musicality, your energy is what really helps draw fans to what you do. It's just kind of the thing that spreads throughout the room. And I found it very interesting that you mentioned that one of your idols or influences was not a musician, but it was Bill Cosby,
yeah.
Who has that same feel, that same joy that permeates everything he does. What is it about Bill that made you just really care about what he does?
Just like what you said, you know, I mean, he just loves what he just loves being up on stage, you know, when he's telling his stories and telling his jokes. I mean, you know, when I first saw Bill Cosby himself, you know, his HBO special, that stand-up, where he did, it was like over 2 hours. I mean, just 2 hours of him telling stories. And it was, I just remember watching that. I mean, I've seen that 100 times, you know, and it doesn't matter how many times I watch that show. It just makes me smile. I laugh every time I hear it. I never get tired of hearing his jokes. I never get tired of watching him execute those stories. You know, he has this amazing ability to just kind of bring you in. And he doesn't even have an instrument, you know? I mean, he's just up there with a microphone. And, you know, so he was actually one of the guys that kind of inspired me to be a solo ukulele player too, because I always thought, you know, well, I'm just playing the ukulele and, you know, I don't know if I can keep the audience engaged, you know? But I realized that watching Bill Cosby, it's not about what instrument you have. It's not about how many people are up there on stage with you. You know, it's about being up there and just trying to draw in that Bill Cosby energy, you know, and just that Bill Cosby vibe. Because if you can do that, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You know, it doesn't matter if you're singing, strumming an ukulele, doing a magic, juggling, you know, doing magic, whatever it is, you know, it's this aura, this joy, this passion that he has, you know, and then the commitment and the conviction in which he does everything, you know, that's what draws people in. And that's why I've always been a huge fan of his. I mean, you know, watching the Cosby Show and all that stuff. I mean, it was just, you know, he was just, you know, he was so loved and so successful at what he does because he was just always Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm. Were there also ukulele players that you tried to emulate when you were young?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are tons. I mean, my all-time favorite ukulele player is a man by the name of Eddie Kamai, who back in the 50s started up a group called the Sons of Hawaii. And they, you know, they basically redefined what traditional Hawaiian music is. You know, I mean, when you think of traditional Hawaiian music today, the sound that you think of is what they created back in the 50s, you know, and he's noted as like the first ukulele virtuoso, you know, and so, he, you know, he was always my favorite because until, you know, Eddie came along, I mean, no one was really picking and playing single line melodies or, you know, or really playing with the kind of complexity that he used to play with, you know. And so he inspired a whole generation of players. And then, you know, and then I was inspired by that generation of players as well, you know. So, I mean, it's just, you know, you're always constantly listening to other players. I mean, they're, you know, in Hawaii, you know, we have so many great ukulele players, you know, I mean, and, you know, so for me, it's exciting, you know, whenever I get to travel and take my ukulele with me and, you know, I feel like I'm sharing a big part of the culture too, you know, I mean, my home, you know, and just the, we call it the aloha spirit, you know, bringing the aloha spirit, you know, outside of Hawaii. And it's wonderful. I love seeing people smile and see them laughing at shows and just having a great time.
Yeah. Do you have something on the more traditional front that you might be able to play for us?
Sure, yeah, okay, well, so this is a tune entitled Akaka Falls, and it's one of my favorite traditional Hawaiian songs, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful song, but it goes something like this.
That is nice. Jake Shimabukuro is my guest live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio and at IJPR.org in concert tonight, 7 o'clock at Brit Festivals in Jacksonville. You know, Jake, you mentioned Akaka Falls. I know that many Hawaiian musicians have a special connection to a specific place on one of the islands. It's sort of the place where they get their strength or their inspiration. Mm. Is there a place like that for you?
Oh, there are many places for me, yeah. You know, I mean, I love the ocean, so as long as I can jump in the water every now and then. Yeah. I mean, that's my, you know, that's where a lot of, that's, I think that's my source of energy. You know, I mean, it's definitely the ocean. You know, when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time, you know, bodyboarding and, you know, surfing, things like that. And fishing, you know, I love, one of the things that I love doing is, I love going spearfishing, you know, diving and spearfishing. And, so whenever I get a chance to run out into the water, you know, whenever I'm home, and even if it's just for like a half hour or an hour, man, I live probably about 5 minutes from the beach. So I jump in my car, I'm there, and, you know, in 6 minutes, I'm in the water.
Jake Shimabukuro is my guest live in the studio here at Jefferson Public Radio in concert tonight at 7 o'clock at Brit in Jacksonville. The most recent album is called Peace, Love, Ukulele. You've got a new one coming out in October.
Yes.
And thanks so much for being here. Do we have time to maybe go out with one more?
Sure, I would love
to. Awesome.
All right. Okay, well, here's a song that was kind of inspired by one of my favorite television shows, Ukulele 5-0. Well, it's Hawaii Five-O, but the song is called Ukulele Five-O. It goes something like this. Here we go.
Jake Shimabukuro live on Jefferson Public Radio on open air and online at ijpr.org in concert tonight at 7 o'clock at Brit Festivals in Jacksonville on a double bill with Leo Kaki. Jake, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.